Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Wednesday in H-Town. And it is 12 o'clock, ain't it? We're in the 12 o'clock hour?
Yeah.
Right. It is 12 o'clock.
What we got going on in the 12 o'clock hour?
Oh, yeah.
Giving away a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop. We was just out there yesterday at the Woodlands location. And so there's quite a few of them in the area, aren't there?
Oh, man. That is the place to go. But we'll take care of you this hour.
We will take care of you this
hour. You know what's funny about Texas Star Grill Shop? I was using my GPS, and I was going somewhere totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And a big old sign and symbol of Texas Star Grill Shop popped up.
That's because you've been there before.
In the GPS. I'm like, dang, how much money they spent?
I think that's because you've been there before. A lot of times that happens with me. If I've been to a restaurant, it pops up.
Yeah, like that was the only symbol.
Y'all got some fancy GPSs, baby. Mine don't do none of that.
Hey, shout out to Google.
You should go to Android. That's one of the best things Android does.
Oh, okay. So maybe I just don't got the right settings because
I will give y'all credit for that, man. Yeah. Google, I use Google Maps more.
Google's
than
the best.
Oh, well, then if you use Apple Maps, I don't know what you're doing.
I'm not using Apple Maps, man. They need to step their stuff
and
up.
This ain't really on a my side thing. Like, I'm really not tripping off that, like, that brand loyalty on that scale.
I don't know anybody that use Apple Maps.
Yeah, because
it's good. Like, I got it. I actually installed it.
Criticizing me, man. Keep criticizing
me. Why are you making this a personal victory for you?
I'm giving you credit.
Because I get jumped on about my Android loyalty.
No, the thing you don't get Apple no credit at all. Like, I'm giving Android the credit.
We're not doing this. Yeah. We're not doing this. I don't want to give credit to no Apple or no Android. Yeah. I want to give credit to defenses.
I'm giving credit.
Defenses is where I want to give credit right now. What makes an elite defense? Because we've talked about this defense, and I was thinking about it, all right, is this an elite defense? But before we get there, what makes an elite defense? So I kind of want to reverse engineer this, if you're okay.
It's about what you can do to the quarterback. I think it's a simple answer. I've had this discussion over the years. Like, the most important parts of an elite defense to me start not on the defensive line. That's the second most important part, and that's the edges. Texans have some edges if they stay healthy, you know. But the most important part to me of an elite defense is the secondary, but specifically the two cornerbacks.
All right, let's see how that matches up. Yeah. So I kind of wanted to go back and think of what have been some of the best defenses, some of the elite defenses, right? And elite, I'm going to point to as, you know, best in the league, mm-hmm. right? When it comes to given years, right? The ones that stand out as very good on a given year. And then if you hear me use the word historic, that's what I'm talking about, like year over year ones that stand out. And when I use historic, one of the ones that comes to mind for me is the 2013 Seahawks defense, otherwise known as Legion of Boom, right? Like, those are historic is when we give you a nickname, right? When we got ones, which, funny enough, did the 85 Bears actually get a nickname, or do we all just call them the 85 Bears?
I think that was their nickname, 85 Bears, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bears slacking. You can't
86
even come with a
Giants?
Nickname?
Didn't have a nickname, did they?
But in 85, was they calling, hey, here's the 85 Bears?
Yeah.
What was their nickname? I don't know why I'm getting hung up on
because
this.
Because the Steelers.
They had the Steel Curtain, the
Purple Bowl Shuffle.
Eaters.
But that wasn't necessarily a nickname. That was just a thing they did.
Yeah, because even the Oilers, well, they had a defensive nickname back in the day, right?
Yeah, House of Pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, what was the 85 Bears? So they ain't had no nickname. Yeah.
All the 85 Bears.
Super Bowl Shuffle.
But were there any other defenses that came to mind for you? Like,
all time, 86 Giants, 85 Bears.
Well, the tough part
more
about
recently,
it is,
yeah.
I want to keep it recent because obviously if we're going to try and compare any of this to the
2015
Texans,
Broncos.
It's got to be useful. Ooh, that's a good one because that 2015 team was defensive led.
Yeah.
That was, what was it, Peyton Manning?
That was the Von Miller year.
Well, yes, Von Miller on the defense, but Peyton Manning on offense, quarterbacking. And I, at that point, he looks so un-Peyton Manning-like that I took to calling him by his middle name. I was like, no, that's Williams Manning out there. That is not no Peyton, because I know what Peyton Manning looks like. He doesn't throw this many ducks.
Yeah.
But okay, 2015 Broncos. Mm-hmm. Any of the
2013,
ones?
2013, you mentioned it, Seahawks.
Those are ones that I view as elite. I think in 2022, I think relatively recently, you could look at, like, obviously, I think this is one that's interesting, the Niners a couple years ago.
Yeah, that would be right on the fringe of that type of
an interesting one. I think last year you maybe looked at you looked at the maybe the Browns, the Ravens, the Chiefs, and some of those teams. I'm kind of just laying out a few teams.
The characteristics.
Yes, and some of the teams that we can maybe look at mm-hmm. when we're kind of bringing some of these together. And so if that's the case, right, with those teams, some of the things that I continually pull up and look at and I'm like, huh, again, this pops up. Again, this pops up. Again, this pops up. One of them is percentage of drives ending in offensive scores. Like just mm-hmm. basically, I know sometimes we'll use the simple metric of scoring defense, but I feel like that gets a little... that can be a little nebulous at times. Yeah. One of the things that feels like it tracks really well is percentage of drives that end in scores. And when it comes to this current Texans team, they rank seventh in that, 32% of drives end in scores. Now, mm-hmm. they were doing a lot of giving up scores early in the season, and yeah. this is kind of tamped down a little bit. But the team's doing it this year, the Vikings. 25%
that's defense.
Of drives, right? That's a really good defense. The Steelers, 29% of drives end in a score. The Chargers, only 25% mm-hmm. as well. Like, those are the good defenses, and that's one of the things that I think still eludes this Texans team. How about yards per play, just generally?
Yeah, that's a good one.
The basic yards per play, because that Niners defense back a couple years ago, 5 yards per play. One of the ones that I kept looking at is that Legion of Boom defense, 4.5 yards per play, like all the way around. Mm-hmm. That's runs, passes, all of that, all through the season. Currently, you want to know what this Texans team does in that regard for yards per play?
What is it?
Currently, they are at a 4.9.
Okay.
Right, like I think that there's some things that you could look at defensively that make you go, huh?
Yeah,
this team is in that realm. So I just wanted to say that. Obviously, we know that this team is around that space, mm-hmm. but I wanted to get the first basis of they are around that space. Now, when we look at those defenses, right? You mentioned 2015 Broncos. Mm-hmm. We look at Legion of Doom defense. You can look at even that Niners team. We'll use those three just as examples. What are some of the similarities? What are the things that feel like they run concurrent through all of those teams that you go elite defense?
You just outlined the numbers, and the numbers, I think, are what ultimately you want to get to, right? You want to get to go ahead.
Before we get there, people are reminding me, Monsters in the Midway was the 85 Bears.
Oh, yeah. What am I thinking?
Really?
But I think it was before that. They've been called the Monsters of the Midway since the 70s.
Okay.
It's just an ongoing, like Steel Curtain or whatever, you know.
Okay.
It didn't happen in 85. Like, because I remember the Monsters of the Midway when I was a kid.
That's like if the Steelers have elite defense.
They're going to call them the Steel Curtain.
Okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't born in 85.
Okay.
All right. So you went to the numbers, which is ultimately what's going to define... or at least describe how good your defense is.
And that's not all the numbers, just a few things to point to the ways in which they're close, and maybe the ways that they can get a little bit better is like, hey, limit some of these scoring opportunities and even further.
And the numbers are good. I like to look at best players on defense. Where are they?
Okay.
You know, and that's why I said, to me, cornerbacks, I said this multiple times, I would draft a cornerback every year, or at least every other year. Just because they're so important to have depth and to have great cornerbacks. And that team, it was more safeties. It was Cam Chancellor, you know. But you did have...
aforementioned Earl Thomas.
But you did have, obviously, Richard Sherman.
Correct.
So it was more secondary there. But you had the best... He was playing the best football of his life, Richard Sherman, at cornerback. If you have cornerbacks, everybody gets better on the defensive side. Like, everyone. And if you can complement that... with rush ends, and the Broncos in 2015 were more a rush end, you know, oriented team, with Von Miller just dominating and everything they could do defensively.
Well, Bruce Irvin at that point was a outside linebacker there. KJ Wright, another one, namely. But then one of the big things that I think Bobby Wagner as a linebacker in the middle mm-hmm. also matters a good amount. And this is where I look at someone like Aziz and. I don't know.
We're not making that comparison, but what he can maybe do, yeah.
How comfortable are you with, again, speaking to Christian Harris, if he does return as kind of, I think Jonathan Alexander hypothesized the idea of after the bye week, so after 14 into week 15, if he returns, and then how good does he look in his return? But like, those are some of the things that it feels like you've gotten some really good play out of the linebackers. Like, the highest level of play, I think, would also make this really interesting.
Yes, but what I'm getting at is... do the Texans have those pieces? You know, we'll get to the numbers, and you have gotten to the numbers, but like, do you have stud cornerbacks that can make everybody else better? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
The answer is yes. You know, I forget who it was. ML Football retweeted it. But right now, today, this deep into the season, Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter are the NFL's, not just the AFC, top two in passer rating when they're targeted. Number one and number two are Stingley and Lassiter. And this is on me. I forgot about that. I was looking at their roster right now. That Broncos team, cornerbacks, Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib.
I think that's good. I've heard that they're good at football.
If you have cornerbacks that are studs, you're halfway there. You're practically halfway there. So the elements alone of this defense, to me, are there. And that's not even counting Will Anderson Jr. or Danielle Hunter.
But you have to count. I think that clearly you're having that pass rush ability is huge, right? Like that is one of the big elements that you point to. As we were asking some of the elite defenses, someone brought up the. It's almost like you can kind of point to the defenses by the big time pass rusher, right? Somebody was Michael Strahan's Giants. You mentioned Von Miller with those Broncos. Mm-hmm. It's interesting actually with the Legion of Boom. I'm trying to think. If there was one that I point to specifically that I feel great about.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it now. Not necessarily. They were more cornerback and linebacker.
Michael Bennett.
Kinda. Ed Red Bryant. Uh-huh. Red Bryant was one of their leading tacklers. Chris Clemens was a defensive lineman. And Michael Bennett. Well, Michael Bennett might be the one. That was a big factor.
That might be I don't know if an outlier, but then also DeMarcus Ware you talk about when you talk about in addition to Von Miller on that Broncos defense. I think having those big time pass rushers, and I think that Will Anderson Jr., you know his effect, and Danielle Hunter obviously factors in a big way, but I think that you're seeing the distinction that happens with they're good when they have Danielle, Danico Autry, Tim Settle, all these other guys. They're otherworldly and great, and Will Anderson is also applying that pressure. And so I think all of those things together, you talk about the players, you talk about the ability to, you know, the metrics of it, they have the makings of an elite defense.
They have the makings. They absolutely have the makings. And, you know, can they get there? You know, obviously, I think the answer is also yes. Can they get there this year? That's where, you know, if they can, and I said it earlier, if they're on that path, by the end of the year, if they gain confidence with the Cowboys game and the next two games against, you know, bad teams, maybe they start to roll and it feeds on itself and they become, you know, the reason the Texans win is the defense.
Yeah, and so and it feels like they have to because that's the strongest and most consistent part of this team. And yes, shout out to the 832 who does correctly make point to the idea that the interior defensive line with Seattle was surprisingly above average, which was pretty damn solid. But that's another place where this D-line has been solid with the Texans. But, yeah, they have it. I think consistency, again, is what I've been looking for and what we've all been looking for from this team just generally and offensively in specific. This defense is giving you quite a bit of consistency. And when they are healthy, it shows up. That ends up being the Achilles heel, for lack of a better term, for this defense, is the possibility of injuries and the depth. That is not necessarily there in some of these places. You found a little bit of depth linebacker wise, but and then especially on the defensive line in that secondary is where your depth gets tested. And so as long as you have Kamari Lassiter out there, right, and obviously Derek Stingley has continued to show you his capabilities, even as so far as people just generally not throwing at the receivers that he's targeting. If they're healthy, they can be an elite defense, and they need to be an elite defense if they want to get to the places that they want to.
Yes, indeed.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Somebody said, what if we get rid of the Colts or Jacksonville from the division and add the Cowboys or the Cowboys? I appreciate you continuing.
Where do you
that.
Put them? We're going to get rid of you guys.
Well, then
you're fired.
Well, then they go to the NFC East.
I don't know if that you're talking about something that'll never happen.
Oh, yeah, that's correct. That's 100% correct. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It's about time for us to get to our lunchtime confessions brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, and we'll do that next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. Watch this.
These are my confessions. Adam Schefter said something today that wasn't necessarily breaking news, but is making news.
Is it?
So let's hear him tell the story, and then I'll give you my confession. Tell the story about the strangest place that he broke a story.
Weirdest place you've broken a story is what?
Hmm. I can remember being in Denver one time, and I was how do I say this? I had just spent time with this woman for the first time.
Yeah. Okay.
And
all right, man.
Sure.
And got a text that Dale Carter was being suspended. I think it was for 8 games for substance abuse. And so as I continued to lay there, confirm it, and got the job done, Kevin. In every which way.
Oh, okay, boss.
Like, all right, man. Congratulations,
got the job done.
I don't like the way that he started chuckling just thinking about it.
Yeah. So, I think all of us have a story like that.
Do we?
Yes. You're in it, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And you can kind of relate. You had to drop everything, so to speak.
For work?
For work. In my case, it was for work.
God.
No, it was.
All right, tell your story, man.
No. I think everybody has a story. It's not just mine. You have a story. You have a story where something happened.
Work can wait, baby.
Where something happened right in the middle.
Work can wait.
And you had to stop. 713-572-4610.
Tell your story how you got laid.
No. I'm not.
Here we go.
Wait, that's what we were talking about?
No.
There we go.
See, you're going there, and I'm like going, this just in. Married guys get laid.
That's not what y'all be saying.
So it's not about that. It's about, like, I think a lot of people can relate. Like, I was right there, and then work got in the way or something else got in the way. Yeah, I had an editor call. I just finished a story, so it was late at night, and I sent in the story. So they're going.
And so you were having celebratory time.
Of course. Okay. And so they're going to print. Like, you're on deadline. This is back in the day of deadline. You have to answer your editor's call. Maybe you made a big mistake. Maybe they're asking a question or whatever. So I answered the call. Right?
While you was having fun.
Right there. What's y'all's story? Don't be bashful. I know you got one.
The only story, and this was not work related at all. Mm-hmm. It was a story me being somewhere I wasn't supposed to be. And somebody mama came home.
Oh,
see that?
It was just like now I'm, man, I was hiding behind the door.
Oh, no.
Like
that one man that we don't talk about no more?
Man, I'll never forget this, man. This girl was like, yeah, my grandmother, she ain't home. She ain't going to be home till tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you hear those keys.
See, that was self-preservation.
I'm like, what? No. So now I'm stuck behind the door. Don't know how the hell I'm going to get out of this.
Yeah. What's yours?
You think I'm sharing? That's cute.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Absolutely not.
This is what we do. We're transparent.
I didn't agree.
We bros, man. Come on, we bros.
I don't know. Y'all good enough for all that. Watch this. So I think in the new college football era, as yesterday we got the latest in the college football playoff rankings, obviously the ones that don't actually matter because the actual rankings will come out once the season is over. But I think the committee might actually subscribe to my view of this.
And that is?
They might just be that none of these actually matter. I think they just ranking on vibes right now as the newest college football playoff committee came out. And Ward Manuel, who's Michigan's athletic director, he's the spokesperson for the playoff committee. So when they announce it on TV, he's the one that gets interviewed by Reese Davis. And Reese Davis asked him how much the schedule, strength of schedule rather, matters when they're picking things and what generally the committee looks at most. And this was his response. Quote, watching the games, watching how the teams play carries the day. So basically he's saying eye test. Is what he's saying. Yes. They're just out here like, man, whatever, bro.
What do you feel like doing this week?
Stack them up, bro.
What do you feel like putting them this week?
He's like, hey, man, just stack them up, bro. It's cool. Like,
it's kind of worrisome, though, like when they get to the final one and you're wondering what exactly are they thinking.
And they'll tell us at that point, I'm guessing. Yeah. But, yeah, man, Oregon still number one. Mm-hmm. Ohio State still two. Texas is three. Penn State still four over Iowa, or rather Indiana. Like, it just feels like they're like, hey man, just stack them up. It's cool. We'll figure it out later. We're just putting them up here. And again, I think that's they're like, it doesn't matter. Which I've always said. Now, if you're going to do it, you probably should try and put some effort into it.
Yeah,
it
does feel like that's my point. Watch this.
These are my confessions. Man, so yesterday I wasn't in at work because I was a little under the weather. And I felt like I watched a version of Andre Ware watching the offensive line live, the way he was going off about the O-line and Laramie Tunsil and all that stuff. So I had a friend come over. She brought me some soup because, she wanted me to feel better. And unfortunately, she drove off of the little into the little ditch part.
Yeah, like she got a tire over the curb or whatever.
Yeah. So she was stuck. She was devastated. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh man. So what we do? We call AAA.
Mm-hmm.
So they came out. This guy looked like he didn't know what the hell he was doing. So we stay on a smaller street, and he came with a big old flatbed.
Yeah.
I'm just like, man, I don't know how you gonna get the car out with this flatbed,
yeah.
Let alone turn around, because you got to turn around to try to do something.
Yeah.
So he was just sitting there looking around like, man.
Pulled his arms.
Yeah,
his chest,
we were like, sitting there trying to help him out a little bit. Yeah. Like, maybe if you do this, do that.
Yeah.
So this dude decided to come around the field and go across the driveways, out the neighbor's driveway to try to get the car out. This dude got stuck.
Of course he did.
So he's stuck in the middle of my driveway. Yep. He horizontal way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perpendicular to the driveway.
Yeah. So he in the middle of the driveway, and this dude sitting in the car in the tow truck like, man, I'm about to get fired, man.
I bet. Yeah.
I don't know what's gonna happen, man. My boss gonna kill me, man. Yeah. This is the third time it happened.
The third time.
He not saying this to me. He's saying this to himself.
Yeah.
So I'm looking like,
but loud enough that you can hear him.
Yeah. That's so tough. I'm like, what the bleep? So he trying everything could get out. Call his boss. His boss came with a tow truck. Tried to get it out. He jumped in the car. Tried to get it out. He mad. He jumped out the car like, why? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? So they going back and forth. They was out there for hours, and then he called another tow truck to get the tow truck out. Yep, so another guy came out looking like Shawn Michaels. He came out with a pistol in the back of his pants.
Oh, wow, yeah, he's the one. That's the one.
I'm like, that brother know what he doing. He backed the truck up. He was giving hand signals. He was saying, come here, go back, stop.
Yeah.
He was doing, he looked like an orchestra.
A conductor?
He looked like a conductor out there, man. So long story less long, he ended up getting the tow truck out.
Three tow trucks.
Yeah. And not to mention, I forgot to mention this, another tow truck that had nothing to do with the situation was ride past. He came through like, hey, I could get y'all a better price. And we like, nah, we're
committed now.
Like this, no, we was like, this AAA.
Yeah.
And he like,
tow truck daddy, a dirty Mackin. Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing.
So after I said that, I'm like, no, we good. It's AAA.
Mm-hmm.
He said, y'all smoke? I got some weed too.
Oh,
man.
Wow.
Got some weed.
Oh, he's industrious. So like, wow. Good for him.
A little side hustle during his hustle.
I'm like, man, somebody might think I'm making this story up, man. But it was a lot going on. Ended up getting everything together. And after they got the tow truck out, the original guy that got stuck and ain't know what he was doing, he was like, yeah, see, I told my boss he had to come in that way.
Oh, brother.
I'm like, man, just leave. Yeah, I'm like, brothers, just sit this one out, man.
Just leave.
Just sit this one. You better hope you got a damn job after this.
Man, that's a story.
That was a crazy day. So we took about 4 or 5 hours trying to get all of that stuff.
You're not about to get soup brought to you ever again.
Yeah, that too.
That's my confession. I'm worried that people going to come over and just fall right in that little ditch.
Yeah, it happens on those thinner streets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know everybody's done this as well. You're texting something or you're searching something on your phone, and as you hit, you know, whatever, enter or go, you know you made a mistake. So I've mentioned this. I'm kind of tinkering with the idea. Maybe I'll wait till after the new year of getting a new vehicle, a new truck. So I was just killing time last night, and I searched, you know, interest rates, see what the interest rates are doing, you know? But I typed insurance rates.
Okay.
In less than, I'm not exaggerating, less than 30 seconds, I got a spam call. About another minute or two after that, got another spam call because I did it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting texts. I've been getting email. I was looking for interest rates, and I typed by mistake insurance rates, and now every insurance company on the planet is blowing up my phone. I hate this so much. the intuitive stuff that's on all these phones and searches and all that. You can walk.
And we live in a surveillance state.
Oh,
is that what you're saying?
Oh, my God. I didn't even want to search insurance rates. I wanted to search interest rates.
Okay, but if you had searched interest rates and now all the texts and calls were about interest rates,
maybe they're a little more useful. Maybe they're a little more useful.
Well, you're going to need some new insurance for the car, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the same insurance I do, though.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you might get a better rate.
Well, no, probably because it's my son-in-law. But
didn't mean to get all in your business.
Oh. Shout out to Salinas Insurance.
Okay.
State Farm, by the way.
That was very shameless. All right. How about this? I've realized that my recall is bad. Just generally, that's something that I've picked up in life that, this is not nearly as good as other people's, but specifically, and I think a lot of people have this with names have been whooping my ass all year long, really. Yesterday we were out at the Texas Star Grill Shops in the Woodlands, and a lot of fine folks came out and said hi and entered to try and win some Texans tickets, you know, eat some Nico Nico's.
Yeah.
Buy some various things. It was a lot of fun seeing a whole bunch of folks. And some folks were really just coming in right as we were getting out of there just to make it under the gun. And as I was getting into my car, had another gentleman pull up and be like, yo, are you the new guy at 610? I'm like, yeah, that's me. And he said, what's up? Hello. And he was like, hey, man, can you do something for me? Can you bring Figgy some beef jerky? And I was like,
oh, wow.
No problem. So, Figgy, first of all, can you attest that I did deliver beef jerky?
All four, man.
There we go. All four. All right. So
I think he had to verify that on the text line, too.
Oh, wow. Like,
all four, right? Just want to make sure Reggie.
Oh, he didn't want Reggie to get sticky fingers on one. Yeah.
All right. So, on top of that, he was like, all right, yeah, just let Figgy know. That insert blank here, you know, got this jerky. And I was like, all right, cool, no problem. I was about to send Figgy a text, but I'm like, look, man, let me get in this car, start getting towards the house. Had a couple of other things to do. I forgot to write it down. And this morning, I'm getting in the car to go to work, and I was like, oh, man, what was bro's name? I was like, he said he was Jerky some. Was it like Jerky Steve? Jerky Will? Jerky Bill? What was it? And apparently... Jerky Mike.
Jerky Mike? Yep.
Not even close. I wasn't anywhere near close. Yeah. So shout out to Jerky Mike for bringing up some jerky. But also, I am awful with names. Because I didn't even get close. I walked in and I was like, yo, Figgy, do you know Jerky
guy?
Yeah.
And he was like, nah. I was like, damn, because I can't remember the name.
Yeah, good thing he texted in. Because Jerky Mike, man. Salute to you, man. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the love, man.
Yeah, we appreciate all the love from you fine folks getting involved and bringing us stuff. I didn't even think that was something that people would do.
That was good. How's the jerky?
It was good. It was good. I ate some during the break. It was really good.
All right.
There you go. There you go. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Those were our lunchtime confessions. Coming up next, let's get into some NFL overreaction or not. Are these statements overreactions or no? Fair. We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Right back. And get involved on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. Let's go ahead and hop into this. Let's do a little NFL overreaction or not.
Mm-hmm.
How's that sound?
I love it. It sounds good.
Okay. Getting into the overreaction or not. There it is. I was like, where's the NFL switch up? And there it is. There's the drums and everything to get you into football mode.
Yeah.
Team that's been real football mode, the Detroit Lions. It feels very evident that they are the best team in the league right now. At least there's a consensus when it comes to power rankings and so on and so forth. But being the number one on the power rankings doesn't always equate to being a champion, except overreaction or reality. It does in this case. The Lions are going to win the Super Bowl.
I don't think that's an overreaction. Obviously, everybody qualifies it with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and all that. They've shown some vulnerabilities. And I'm not so sure, you know, outside of maybe the first half when they seem to be just out of sorts with the Texans, like they have every element. You know, we were talking about like the Texans, you know, the defense and the rush ends. And I know even with Aiden Hutchinson out, they're still having some success, but they have the defense, they have the running game, they have two running backs, they have the quarterback, they have offensive line. Boy, do they have an offensive line. No, they've got every piece. I don't think that's an overreaction.
Yeah, they're top five in offensive and defensive EPA.
Yeah.
And then, like, they like you mentioned, they kind of just have it on all accounts, right? Mm-hmm. There you can find the places where they do this really well every phase of the game. Now they're doing.
They have what, the best special teams in the league.
They sure do, right? Yeah, like just every facet of the game, every side of the football, so to say. And one of the things is they have had some injuries that they're dealing with. Obviously, mm-hmm. you know, the Aiden Hutchinson one. They lost Anzalone, mm-hmm. the linebacker, to an injury. I think it was a hand or wrist, if I remember correctly. They've had some injuries, don't get me wrong, but it's football. Everybody has those. Yeah. It does not feel like they've had kind of injuries to load-bearing portions of the team, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And by and large, like just far and away, they look like they've done it consistently. They've put it on paper for us. And when you actually look at the paper, the numbers of it all, they rank high in pretty much everything. This feels like a team that is built exactly for what they're trying to do. Plus, yeah. You end up talking about the time of year. I think B. Scott made a great point about this. I don't know if that was today or earlier today or another time, about like also the style of football that's necessary to mm-hmm. win in the playoffs. It's really funny how the NFL is built, where the regular season is in this time where a lot of time and in a lot of places you're playing during a time period that's a little bit more conducive to like throwing the football, especially in this modern era. You get to the playoff times and you're in January, where it's cold in places if you're playing outside, and it might be more conducive to being able to run the football and do those things.
That's them too.
The Lions do all those things as well. So it feels like they're well situated in various different degrees, including the things that make you good,
including
in the postseason.
In-game coaching. Not just coaching preparation and coaching these guys up to be good and player acquisition, but in-game coaching with Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson.
Yeah, it's funny. I was going to say, as far as the coaching, that's my only worry, as weird as it sounds. I felt like if the game is kind of close.
The aggression that
yeah, Dan I think Campbell. Because that kind of bit him in the butt last year. Mm-hmm. So if a team got him on the ropes.
When he's going for it on fourth down all the time.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing that could probably.
But their coordinators are probably both going to be head coaches.
No, they both are good. Yeah. I just think the in-game decisions.
Yeah.
I think that's the stuff that could probably go bad for him.
It's possible, but one thing about Dan Campbell is that I don't think that he's going to be shaken mm-hmm. off of that. Like, Brandon Staley is one of those guys that was early on being held up as, oh, man, he might be like one of these, the new analytical guys, right?
Yeah. Defensive Sean McVay.
Yeah. He's supposed to be all those things, and with the Chargers, which is funny, because you look at it now, and the Chargers are doing the stuff that he was supposed to be doing, just doing it way better with, like, Jesse Minter on defense mm-hmm. and stuff. But he was supposed to be a guy that also like followed analytics, and he got moved off the block when he got criticism.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell does not seem to give a damn.
He doesn't care.
Or whatever else about your feelings. Like he believes strongly in what he does. And I think we've talked about this before. When it comes to like those more analytically inclined decisions, it really works if you stick to your guns and like do it over time, because in theory, if the analytics then pan out, you will then see the benefit of that sample getting larger and having whatever percentage of you know, benefit towards what you were desiring happen. Yeah. All right, some more things, NFL overreaction or not. The Dolphins, your Week 15 opponent for these Texans, are going to be one of the AFC teams to make the playoffs.
Now, that's an interesting one. I'm going to say that's an overreaction just because they're 4-6.
They are 4-6. They are currently two and a half games back of the Buffalo Bills. Who are at 9-2. So division is not going to be the way that they ultimately get in. It would have to be wild card. And as of right now, they're situated ninth in the wild card. Mm-hmm. They are behind the Colts, who are 5-6. They're behind the Broncos, who are playing some pretty damn good and inspired football at 6-5. Ravens, Chargers, Texans, Steelers, Bills, Chiefs are all ahead of them. And all those teams feel like they're doing this pretty well. But the remainder of the
easy
Dolphins
schedule. Yeah.
You have the Patriots, which...
Nah, they don't need to worry about the Patriots.
Relatively easy, but they kind of have some Drake May in there.
Yeah.
At the Packers, not easy. Versus the Jets, count that. At the Texans.
No, well, let me stop you there because...
I was hoping that you were going to say something.
No, because what I was saying is like two weeks ago, I was thinking that's a dub. I think it's an overreaction to say that they are, you know, a playoff team. But that game got a lot scarier.
It did.
That game got a lot scarier.
Niners, Browns, Jets are the other ones for the Dolphins there. They're going to have to find some wins in there. Yeah. It definitely feels like an overreaction. But I think the heart of the question is, They're clearly like playing at a different level when they have Tua back.
Yes.
Especially with the amount of like pressure that he's able to evade himself and get the ball out quickly to some of those playmakers that felt like they were starved for attention when he was not there as a quarterback for that team. But yeah, overreaction, and especially because the Texans are definitely getting that win off them, right?
I would have said that 2 weeks ago.
All right, here we go. Continuing, NFL overreaction or not. The Bears head coach is Matt Eberflus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not going to happen for very much longer. The Bears will fire Matt Eberflus before the end of the season. He will be the next head coach fired.
Before the end of the season. It's looking that way, isn't it? I'm going to say that's not an overreaction.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the next one
is
fired?
Is he going to be the next, though?
Is he going to be
the about that? Because I felt like, all right.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
You don't think so? Who do you put up?
I'm kind of looking at Doug Peterson.
Doug Peterson's a candidate. In fact, did you see the story today that they showed up Monday thinking that was going to be, you know, Black Monday for Peterson, and everybody's like, well, he's still here. He's still here.
He is still here. You're, you know, kind of.
You know what? I think I'm going to change my. I think it's going to be Doug Peterson.
Yeah. I'm still going with Eberflus.
Yeah.
He's already had so many of his coordinators fired. Mm-hmm. He's fired a ton of them under his tenure. The last couple of offense coordinators have already been fired in this season. Like, there's no one to hide, or there's nowhere to hide, rather.
Yeah.
Although, I guess it looked better under Thomas Brown, so maybe that's what will be his saving grace throughout the rest of the season. But he has the best odds right now.
Oh, he does.
Of being the next fired.
Okay.
Relatively closely followed by Doug Peterson, Brian Daboll, Mike McCarthy, who we feel like is just they're just going to let that run out.
Yeah.
And then after that, Jared Mayo, Steichen, some of those guys that I don't know.
Jared Mayo's already on the board.
but it feels like he's a little bit further.
I'm surprised Stefanski ain't on that list. Yeah. I know he just got an extension, but it ain't looking too good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That is fair, but I don't know. I don't know how to deal with the Haslams and that whole organization.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Are they the best decision makers?
Part we know.
People talk about clean the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, they just paid those two dudes, the GM and the coach.
All right, let's get some more NFL overreaction or reality. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I think we've all acknowledged, okay, they are good, like without any asterisks. Mm-hmm. They're just a good football team, as we probably should have just assumed when we looked at the team. We looked at who was coaching, and it was like, oh, is it still Mike Tomlin? Okay, cool.
Okay, so they're good.
But good has levels. Overreaction or reality, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a Super Bowl contender.
That's a good one. I'm going to say it's not an overreaction. I think there are vulnerabilities in the AFC. You know, the Texans exposed one with the Bills, who are now, you know, considered, you know, one of the top teams and contenders. The Chiefs have had some vulnerabilities. The Texans, clearly, those are the other division leaders. And then the other division leader is the Steelers. They're just getting it done, man, week after week. I don't think that's an overreaction.
I think it's just a little bit of an overreaction. And maybe I'm just being stupid and, again, allowing the Steelers, whatever I'm seeing, you know, trusting my lying eyes instead of, like, believing what we all kind of seemingly know about the Steelers. But this is based off of, right, their run that they've had of late. They beat the Raiders, the Jets, the Giants, the Commanders. Commanders are a good win, right? Close. Mm-hmm. And then the Ravens. And that Ravens game, one of the things that's weird about the Ravens is that they have all the capabilities, but sometimes they just operate dumb.
Yeah.
This is one of those dumb games. And I feel like that is really what we're basing a lot of this, their contenders.
But the
really
Steelers do not.
No, they do not.
The Steelers do not, and that's a big plus.
But I think that is absolutely what helped them win a game like that where they only kicked field goals. I think that's probably not the Chiefs, but definitely not against the Bills.
If we were in the 2000s, then yes, I would say this would probably be the team to beat or the team to get
the Super
Bowl.
Well, he's just saying Super Bowl reality or overreaction. I don't think it's an overreaction.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair to bring the context back.
It's not an overreaction to say Steelers Super Bowl contender. I mean, by definition, they are there.
They have them top five.
But,
okay.
I think that's fair. That's a fair counterpoint. I appreciate that. All right, how about this? And when we're talking about the top of the AFC, where the Texans want to be but clearly are not in this moment, one of those teams are actually just literally the team at the top of the standings at 9-1 are the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs are still going to get home field advantage in the AFC. Overreaction or reality? The Bills are coming on strong.
Bills are coming on strong, and they have the tiebreaker. So that's... think I might have to say overreaction. I think the Chiefs, their remaining schedule, they're not, now they're playing the Texans, albeit.
So that's a loss for the Chiefs. Am I right?
I was going to say.
Am I right?
Albeit it's in Kansas City, but they still have the Steelers and they still have the Broncos. Their last three games of the season are Texans at home, at Pittsburgh, and at Denver.
You think they slip up somewhere in
there? They're going to slip up at least once somewhere in there. And that means if they end up tied with Buffalo, Buffalo gets the home field advantage. Yeah.
Oof, that'd be interesting.
Look at those last three games. All of a sudden, you were thinking, Steelers, that's a win. Broncos, that's a win. Not so fast, my friend.
And to that end, and I follow that up, overreaction or reality, the Bills will beat the Chiefs again if they match up in the playoffs.
Ooh, that's an overreaction. It'll be the postseason.
Postseason, we have learned, whatever we believe, we have learned to not go ahead and doubt that man that wears number 15 for the Chiefs. Just if he's out there, hey, okay. All right.
I think he earned the benefit of the doubt.
They'll do it on the road, though. They'll do it on the road. It's even worse.
All right, there's your NFL overreaction reality on this Wednesday in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. All right. Coming up next, we talked a little bit about the AFC there. Let's dig more into it. What tier of the NFL do these Texans lie in? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.